Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Dan Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith. And today we are joined by Daisha Guyton of Windy City Wardrobe and Feminist Speakeasy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. It's our pleasure. I'm so glad that you could be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Good. How's your day going today so far?
Oh, it's great. I'm normally at work on this day, but I'm taking extra days off and celebrating my birthday this week. So
it's your birthday?
Super excited on Saturday. Yeah.
That's so good.
32.
Cool. Nice.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's right. Awesome.
Yeah. I feel is an important thing to do is like prioritize taking days off. Just in, especially like the world we're living in, and then just like work is work.
Yeah. It's definitely a big part of my self-care plan is making sure that I regularly take some time off as well as have like a real vacation. You got to have both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, because there's a difference between, because I think that it's really easy when you take a day off to be like, all right, I got to get A, B, and C done. Whereas a vacation, you're like, no, I'm not getting anything done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's, yeah, a lot of times days off are catching up on things that you need catching up on.
Yeah, it's just a day off from that, not a day off.
Right, right. Exactly.
No, I don't remember the last time I had a day off. I've had a day where I haven't been at work, but it has not been a day off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's rough. But, well, I'm so excited for you to be here. I would love for you to talk about, I mean, what do we want to talk about first? You do so much. Yeah. So let's start with Windy City Wardrobe. Okay. Since that was
First.
Yeah. So, would you mind telling us about Windy City Wardrobe?
Of course. So, I'd like to say that Windy City Wardrobe was a response to, like, Starbucks employees, Chick-fil-A employees, because I could never get my coffee without people giving me a bunch of questions. And I'm a first coffee kind of girl. And I needed to be able to hand them a business card and say I would love to answer all those questions about my hair and my makeup and my clothes, but not right now because I really need this coffee before I can talk to you. And it was
that
really
is the best reason I've ever heard anyone start a business. Like, truly and organically, that is so
good.
It
was organic. It was really literally a response to other people on the street.
That's so
good. I'm such an introvert. I created a business so I didn't have to talk to people.
Amazing.
That is like the best business advice I've ever heard. Do you hate talking to people?
Make it on your time.
Yeah, right.
So I do. Now I get to hand them a business card and say, sure, send me an email, DM me. And so I just looked at platforms like, where should I put this? And at first I thought it would just be this like outfit of the day thing because that's what people were mainly asking me about. And you know, you hit publish and you're like, oh, maybe five people are probably going to see this because I didn't do any research, didn't know what I was getting myself into. But as soon as I published it, it was like, oh, people are talking to me. Okay, so this is like a thing. Like, maybe I should take better pictures. Like, maybe I should take it more seriously. And so it just kind of kept growing, and I just kept giving the audience what they wanted. So if they wanted to know about my clothes, they wanted to know about my makeup, my hair, if they wanted to know how I overcame being plus size and still being able to wear trendy things, whatever they wanted to know, I was just, I've always been an open book.
Yeah.
And so I just give the people what they ask for, and so it keeps growing. And so it went from just a outfit of the day to now it's a business. So I work with lots of brands. I have styling clients. So it's
awesome.
A big mixture of a lot of different things.
I want to ask about something that I am really passionate and interested about is kind of understanding how people are making meaningful and sustainable content in this time period. And one of the things that I think is really remarkable about your story that I've heard so far is that, you know, this work is, there's a lot of skills involved with it. You know, you mentioned like being like, oh, I want my pictures to look better and there's like a subjective piece to that of like the content needs to be, but there's also like kind of like a figuring out how like photo editing stuff works like that. So I want to kind of ask about, what in the process of going from starting this project to where you're at now, what's kind of some of the skills that you've had to develop?
I think it was more of a honing them than developing them for me. So like writing was my first passion. So I've taken a lot of classes that I didn't necessarily need, like, or didn't think I needed at the time. Mm-hmm. I was that nerd that took advanced composition and technical writing. And so I took a lot of classes that actually ended up eventually being needed for my blog. My first job was in photography. It was a summer job I went to every summer for 5 summers. So it's like there's a lot of different skills that I kind of just had to piece together and like, well, how does this one go with that one now?
Yeah.
So I've always kind of been a Jill of all trades. And so I just kind of put them together in one spot. And I taught my wife a lot of the things that I know so that I didn't have to do everything. So I was real clever.
That is clever.
So, yeah, I was just like, okay, let me teach you how to use this camera. Let's, you know, what can I give to you to do? What parts do I really like to do? What parts does she like to do? And we kind of would just split those things up. So I like to do things really organically in general. So I don't go out and like pick a day and shoot a bunch of stuff, a bunch of outfits. It's like, this is my life. This is what I look like today. This is what's getting shot while we're just going from A to B.
And that concept, that kind of like content is powerful right now. People want to feel like they're actually seeing your life, not that that you're like putting something on. And that's really cool. I also, the thing that I think is super rad too, is that you do this, that you think about this level of like teaching it. You know, I think that's so, I think that a lot of people that are making like, you know, that are blogging, that are doing fashion work or that are doing vlogging or whatever, there's like this level. So for some people, there's a level of like, I want to keep my skills to myself. Like, I want to keep, like, I don't want other people to kind of like get my secret sauce, where it's like, yeah. There's a lot of room for people, for us, like all kind of coming up together. And I think that's really, and I to hear you, because that's the, I think that what that mindset also does is it makes it hard for people that are working on Instagram and on, you know, YouTube and stuff to know how to be a good teacher. So that's kind of, I'm curious for you, how has, because you said, you mentioned too that you also do like a ton of consulting and stuff, like how has that level of it, of kind of learning how to like teach and consult, been for you?
There's two sides to that coin. Sure. So it's really hard to let go and give anyone any power over something that's like, after it's first it's like a business, but then it's like, okay, it's a part of you. Mm. So then it's super hard to let someone in on that. And you know, you're the one who people are going to be mad at if they mess it up, right? So you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready to let go of any of the reins. But then on the flip side, it takes community to get anything done. Like, if you don't have a community, who are you talking to? Mm-hmm. Who are you growing with? Who are you learning from as well as teaching? So I've just always been a big believer in collaboration. You know, why compete when you can just collaborate? Mm-hmm. You know, so if I would simply, if I see someone and they have some skill that I don't have the background for it, well, why not barter? I have something you don't have. So a lot of it was just common sense stuff, just sharing and constantly featuring. I've done a lot of features, and it opens so many doors because people are very stingy with their audience, with their platform. And so when you're not that way, people remember you when they get an opportunity. Maybe an opportunity didn't work for them, but you're perfect for it. Or maybe they need extra people on a project or in a photo shoot. So it's really has been just flying by the seat of my pants and learning as I go along, as well as teaching. So sometimes people just reach out to me just in a DM, like, how do you do this? Can I be your intern? You know, how do I start a styling business? And if I can help them, I help them. If I don't, if I can't, or if I feel like they're not even ready to receive the information, then I'll point them somewhere else. Start over here. Read this. No, I don't have the time to teach somebody. So, but I know these people are really great at being mentors. So it's, I never turn people away without turning them towards something else. And I think that has been significant.
Yeah, I mean, it's like net positive, you know, like it's...
Yeah, no matter, like, no matter what, reaching out to you, like, it's cool to know that, like, no matter what, reaching out to you, the people may not get the information that they need from you, like, necessarily, but somehow, but reaching out to you is a step in the right direction, if not the end point, which is so cool.
Yeah, I try to make sure that I'm just, I'm being a resource to people, because it's not, I mean, I'm not doing it for myself.
Right.
Like, I know the information.
Well, something that you said earlier resonates pretty deeply with me. The fact that, you know, you kind of brought your wife into this and are, you know, working with her. And because that's something deeply relatable, because with the project that we're doing, all of the tasks associated with it initially were all Daniel tasks, because his background is recording engineer. And audio engineer and stuff like that. And so, like, it just makes it so much easier to be like, okay, what aspect of this are you good at so that I don't have to do it, so that this can remain a sustainable thing?
Or even, exactly. Like, a thing lately is I've been asking you a lot to write the copy for the podcast episodes. Yeah. I love writing copy. But, like, but there's just sometimes just, like, that one thing. You're like, can you just do this one thing for me? And then it's like... a world of difference.
It's just relief. You'll put a whole project off because you didn't want to write a byline. Yeah. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So just ask somebody for help.
Yeah.
I know. No, there's something that I want to submit to, but I have to listen. I have to figure out a 5-minute snippet of me being smart on the podcast. And I just can't fucking bring my... I can't do it. But, no, so... I'm interested kind of where your interest in fashion started from. Like, have you always just been a fan of style trends and fashion, or did that come later? Like, where does your interest stem?
So I've always been really interested in just expressing myself. So I look at it that way. I like for people to kind of know who I am just by looking at me. I mean, so let's be honest, that's what we do anyway.
Right.
So you might as well help people in the right fucking direction.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I see it. It's just really being able to tell your story visually. And I haven't always been able to afford to do so. And so when you can't afford it and you find all these tricks and coupons and plugins and this and that, those are also, you know, tools that I share with people. Because stuff is expensive.
Yeah.
And it ain't getting no cheaper, but our checks ain't going no higher. and so it just really has been something that's always been with me. I really, I believe in everything being styled, not just my clothes. So, like, my apartment is completely me. I have to be surrounded by things that make me happy all the time. I'm that person that's decorating the cubicle on day one. Like, I gotta get comfortable. So it just really, it all translates. Whatever is really piquing my interest. I'm an 80s baby, so I'm, you know, like, super into those trends and Memphis design and all of that stuff. So you'll see all that weaved into my brand, and I kind of try to do it in a way that's not so on the nose, but if you pay attention, you see it. So it's something that's always been with me. My dad and I try to outdress each other. It's like our thing. So it's just kind of developed more and more over the years as I get to know myself better.
That's so good. Yeah, I think that that's something that can be challenging for a lot of people, because I think that people going through their day-to-day have a general sense of who they are, but I think that sometimes it's hard to, you know, looking through, you know, specifically for plus-size folks, you know, specifically doing a lot of online shopping and, like, just looking at pictures of people wearing clothes and you're like, is that me? Like, does that represent who I am? And so I think that, like, what you're doing and kind of, like, helping steer people in the right direction is, it's important, because it's like you said, like, being, you know, people are going to judge you based on what you look like no matter what, so... You might as well. Yeah, exactly.
You might as well. And, you know, and you bring up a good point, because I didn't realize dressing people was going to turn me into some sort of, like, therapist. you know? And so that's where other things come into play, because I was like, okay. So I was finding it hard. Like, I didn't do any sort of like deep research when it came to branching out into offering styling services. And I set it up and I'm starting to get clients, and I'm realizing that they're struggling because they mentally aren't ready. It doesn't matter how many tools I gave them, if I didn't give them any mental tools to get out of their own head and unlearn all of the rules that society has put on them and whatever body they're living in. And so that's where the self-love and body positivity came in. It was like, okay, if I'm gonna dress you, I'm gonna have to give you a therapy session first. Because otherwise, you're just going to fight me. And I don't think you paid me so you can fight me.
Yeah.
So it kind of, I needed something in between the services to get people ready for it.
So what fashion rules that like just absolutely, you know, have infiltrated people's heads as being like the end all be all of, because I have an apple body or because I'm pear shaped or whatever, I can't wear this. Like, what in your mind sticks out is like being total nonsense as like a fashion rule that people should just ignore?
Oh, it's all nonsense. All of it. There are no fashion rules as far as I'm concerned. But the things that are really hard for people is to be bold in general. If they don't have the body they think that it, whatever's trendy, because we know that that shit goes in and out of style. Mm-hmm. This week, an hourglass is in style. Next month, you know, just real thin anorexia is in style. So it just keeps changing. And so you're not a fucking pair of jeans. You're a person. You don't go in and out of style.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to get people to get rid of that. They think, I'm fat, I shouldn't show my arms, I shouldn't show my legs, I'm short, I should always have on heels, I'm too fucking short. It's just whatever package they're in, there's baggage.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, they can be that body that's in style right now, and they still have their own shit because they wasn't in style last year. And they haven't unlearned it. So it's really just examining yourself and like, what rules do I set for myself, and just break them one by one, because it's too much to do it all at once. It's a mind trip. So what I did personally was I just picked something and said, okay, fuck it, I'm gonna wear some shorts. And then I wore shorts all one summer, and it was like, okay, I'm over it now. Like, I'm not scared of shorts anymore. Next. And just took on things until it was just like, I'm always comfortable now.
That's great. That's everything. Well, and speaking of like boldness in general, you mentioned before we recorded that your second project started because your ideals and your, you know, and like love for, you know, feminism and, you know, people loving themselves kind of started to overtake. So yeah. Would you mind kind of going into your second project?
Of course. So as I started to write more about self-love and body positivity, it's starting to get really popular and it's getting retweeted and shared everywhere. And next thing you know, I'm writing for other publications on a regular basis. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. This is like a lot. And I'm probably starting to piss some people off because, like, where's the clothes at? So I was like, what am I going to do about that? And so I started to shift it and started to take those and submit them to other publications more so while I worked on developing my second brand. And so I knew I wanted it to be a feminist gift shop. That's all I knew at first. Like, it needs to be a feminist gift shop. Don't know why I'm stuck on it, but that's what I want. And so I started to curate first, and I started to figure out, like, what kind of things do I want that I never can find? You know, you see some cool girl and she's got all this intersectional shit and feminism, and you're like, where do they get all this stuff? You Google it, you don't find it. So I did some, you know, some digging and some importing, because, you know, America, we don't have our shit together.
Right.
And so I'm starting to fill the gift shop, and I'm like, okay, so the gift shop, I feel like I got enough stuff to sell, but I'm like, what am I giving them? Because you got to start there.
Right.
So then it was like, what kind of content am I going to have? What is this this community going to look like? So I spent like a whole year like thinking about these things and branding, and it turned into Feminist Speakeasy. And so what it is a lifestyle brand, but it's also a hideaway from people who just want to get away from the patriarchy. You just want 5 fucking minutes, not be bombarded by it. This is the place to go. Whether I'm having a pop-up or whether we're online, you know, there's articles for you to read that are submitted by all kinds of women from different backgrounds. We have a Facebook group, so there's a lot of community there.
That's so good. I love the concept of it being a speakeasy so that you can get away from the patriarchy for 5 fucking minutes. That is literally everything. Well,
I kind of want to ask you, as people that, because, you know, we intersectional feminists, socialist people, like, we deal with a lot of edgy, and I'm using air quotes for the listeners, like, political content, and, you know, we have things that we think about of how we make it palatable, I guess. Like, what am I trying to say? But I'm curious, kind of, for you, has it been more of just kind of keeping, like, your space internally, like, the way that it is, and then letting it grow from there? Or do you find yourself trying to carve out audience? Does this make sense?
I just put it out there. Yeah. And the people find you, because they're just like me. They're looking for that. So I would find these great feminist groups and I would join and I'd be all gung-ho for 5 minutes. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is really fucking white. Where's everybody else? Or I'd be like, okay, you said this was for brown people, but like, why are there only black people? Mm-hmm. So that was me being like, where's my space? As a person who is multiracial and a lesbian and I've got natural hair, like, I've got so many intersections.
Right.
And I was like, but where is that? Like, where, like, everyone's saying intersectional, everyone's saying inclusive, but it ain't really. It's a word. This is not a buzzword with my brand. So, you know, the people who have submitted content, they're fat, they're black, they're Muslim, they're Mexican, they're white, they're skinny. It is actually intersectional. If you go to my gift shop, it's not just gifts for one race or the other or one gender or the other. It really is for everyone. And I take suggestions. If you feel like you don't see yourself, send me an article.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I the thing that's kind of like blowing my mind with you talking about this is that reads so evidently that it's not a buzzword. And I think that so much of, like, so many really powerful movements can be co-opted by, you know, one majority group, or, you know, by white people, let's say it, like, or by men. Like, it all can be easily co-opted by, like, the, like, party, the patriarchy, the people that are in power. And so to hear, and that is so frequently done with these kind of, like, branding and, like, marketing and, like, things that are these traditional, but to hear you balancing what is, like, traditional, what am I trying to say? Like branding, like, strategies, I guess, and things like that, with nuanced political theory that is inclusive and intersectional. That, finding that balance is inspiring. And I'm kind of curious, like, has that been an issue, or has it just been in, like, an organic outgrowth of what you want to create?
Well, it's just how I live my life. It's like everything else. My friends are intersectional, so they're going to jump on the boat first. So just by them already being there and being a part of the Facebook groups and following the brand on social media, then it already feels welcoming to people, because people look and they go, well, who's in here? And they're like, oh, okay, join. So visually, people have a cue that you meant what you said. Oh, there's another trans person. So they are allowing trans women into this group. Okay, I'm in. You know, so it's just who I've always been. My dad always joked and called me and my friends the Rainbow Coalition, because that's just who I am. It's always been who I am. I'm very uncomfortable in homogenous situations. That's why I live in Hyde Park, because everywhere else is so fucking segregated. Mm-hmm. I just, it makes me itch. I don't understand why people are so comfortable hiding in their own group of people. Mm. Like, what are you scared you're going to learn? The truth? Like, we all are indoctrined into things by our family and our parents and our schools. And if you don't talk to other people, like, aren't you bored? Like, are you not challenging the way you think? Like, I want people to challenge me and show me something that I didn't know. Yeah. Maybe there's something I can help do about it. Mm. You know, I couldn't sit there anymore in this administration, in this, you know, in the negativity that is our world right now and not do anything. I'm like, the least I could do was carve out a little corner of the internet for people to feel safe. Like, you know, and even that's a buzz thing now. Oh, safe spaces.
It is, yeah.
You know, everything is a buzz. And so I know people feel like, you know, you're blowing smoke up their ass, but we're really not.
Well, and something that you said, like, it really rings true because, you know, as a white person with white relatives who are very just so deeply entrenched in their own really terrible beliefs, honestly, terrible beliefs. And it's because they isolate themselves so much and they just, the same messages become so intensely reinforced. They're reinforcing
it. Exactly. And so now it must be true.
Right. And like, yeah, like, it does come from a place of fear and for no good reason.
Yeah. And as a person who is, no matter what room I'm in, people make me feel like I'm not enough. I was like, I can't find the space that makes me have the good feels. So I'm just going to do it for myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hope y'all join me. But, like, I'm having fun over here, you know. Yeah. So it really was that, you know, you're not black enough. You're not, you know, you're not anything enough. It's just, I don't know. I don't know who gave everyone the authority to tell you what you needed to be.
Yeah.
But somehow, that's just how it is.
I love the idea of a feminist gift shop, specifically. I think that that's so cool. Just because the idea of a gift shop is like, kind of, you get to reap the benefits and take a piece of what you've learned home with you.
Yeah. It's just a little reminder.
Yeah. And so, could you talk about the kind of, you know, gifts in your gift shop? Like, what kind of stuff do you sell?
Yeah, so often people will buy two of the same things. I'm like, great, it's working. You know, they wanted one for themselves, but they just had to get one for their best friend. Great. And it's usually like you can't weigh beauty pen. So it's a little scale, and it says you can't weigh beauty because, you know, we all know how that feels when you get up on that scale at home or at the doctor's office because they just got to do it for some reason. And you just feel like, I thought I looked great. I thought I was losing weight or whatever thoughts are going through your mind. But this is just a visual reminder. When you're having those days and you're just hyper-focused on it, just remember that doesn't mean you're an ugly person. It doesn't mean you're unattractive because you haven't hit that goal number on the scale. So there's a body positive collection. They're full of lots of different little pens. We have LGBTQ collections, and we have earrings that say things like Fierce Femme and Girl Gang, and just letting people know that you're that person. If you're in a crowd and you want to ask somebody something, come ask me, because I believe in women helping women. That's why I'm wearing these Girl Gang earrings, you know. So these are just not only reminders for yourself, but it invites the kind of people you want into your space.
Yeah, I mean, it harkens back to your initial concept of, like, you know, people are going to look at you and that's their first impression. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you may as well just shout from the rooftops, like, come talk to me. Like, if you want that, then that's amazing.
Yeah, especially because we get so comfortable online now and we don't know how to talk to each other. We sign up for these events and we're like all gung-ho, and then we get there and everyone's in the corner with their cell phone scrolling, trying to not look awkward, looking awkward. And It's like maybe some visual cue would tell someone we have something in common. And so maybe I'm the right person to be bold enough to speak to.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm wondering, what are your like long-term goals for Windy City Wardrobe and Feminist Speakeasy? Like, where do you want to see these two worlds go?
I can never really answer those kinds of questions because I really am focused on giving people what they want.
That's fair.
So I have to know what the audience is receptive to. So, especially with Feminist Speakeasy being so new, I'm still listening. I'm still taking notes and I'm tweaking and changing. It's evolving. So I really have absolutely no idea where they're going to take it because I'm not in control. And then with Windy City Wardrobe, I'm just glad that I'm able to give it back to the people and give them what they want and send them over to Feminist Speakeasy if they're wanting more self-love and body positivity and feminism. I'm glad to have it separated now so that you're not losing those people who were there for specific reasons.
Yeah.
Because people are so used to having very specific singular branding that you lose people because they're scrolling all day and they're like, they don't have time to try to figure out why all of a sudden am I getting this kind of content from them. I'm sure I didn't sign up for that. Unsubscribe. So I'm giving it back to them the way they want it. I'm definitely doing less styling consultations and just more writing, more working with brands. Like I recently worked with Toyota on their Love Drives campaign.
Holy shit.
So I'm doing a lot more of that sort of stuff these days. Yeah, I'm like crazy busy.
That is wild.
Yeah, it was really odd. Like I said, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Like, I probably was writing for my blog for 6 months before I was literally working with the Rainbow Coalition. Like, I was like, that is so weird. Like, that was, like, my nickname growing up.
Yeah.
And then, like, here I am. I'm like, really? with Jesse Jackson and like all these people, and you're just like, okay, I'm doing this, like I'm here, I'm there, all right, Chevrolet, you need me out there, I'll be there, you know. And you're just like, have no idea how these things keep leading to another. And so I've started to ask, like I asked you when I got here, how did you hear about me? Because people are finding out about me in the strangest ways. So I just always try to figure out, like, where is that going? Because I don't run ads, so
yeah.
I'm like, where?
That's amazing. Well, because my first thought was, surely she sponsored an ad that I saw. But I cannot for the life of me remember specifically where I saw. It must have been on Instagram.
That's okay. To me, that's a compliment. That means that my post,
it's just pervading.
Just look so professional. You assumed it was an ad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll take that.
I want to ask, there's kind of two pieces that are potentially separate, but I feel like really line up to the question I want to ask, which is, like, one of the things that you were just mentioning is the feeling of, like, you know, we talk about it around the show, and so the way we talk about it is, like, the idea of imposter syndrome, and, like, taking on these big projects, like, you were, because you're mentioning, like, the Rainbow Coalition and Chevrolet, and so, like, when I think of that, the first thing I think of is, like, because I know a lot of people that do this where they're like, oh, this is the thing I was waiting for, you know, but it's like, am I worthy of this thing, you know, or that those kinds of feelings. And I also, and I this is the thing that I'm not sure is related, but I'm going to mention it, and it's relevant to my ultimate question. The idea of the work that you're doing, be like the way that you have organically been being such that you were like, I need to establish a thing and found a thing. Both of these things are very much this idea of, like, I'm curious for you how you best kind of, like, take these plunges while dealing with, because I feel like I don't know if those two things are related, but does this question make sense?
It makes sense to me. It's scary. It really is. I can't even sugarcoat it, because you are really putting your thoughts and feelings like front and center, and everything, if you look, everything of mine is public. My regular Facebook page is public. Everything I do is public. So you really are open to scrutiny. So it really is scary. When I come across people and they're asking me for things that I don't do, I really just jot it down. I'm literally taking notes. People ask, well, why don't you have this? Why don't you sell that? You don't sell clothes? I thought you sold clothes. Like, people just are always giving me these ideas organically. I just write them down. And what resonates with me, what I think I could actually have passion about doing, I'll actually take the dive. Because if I don't, if I'm not connected to it, if I'm not passionate about it, I'm going to get bored with it. I'm going to bore you putting the content out there because there's no feeling behind it. So it's really more so timing. I'll decide like, okay, I have a break. Maybe I don't have a ton of interviews, or maybe I don't have a ton of brands that I'm promoting right now. So I'm going to take this time and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to figure this out. And as far as imposter syndrome, I like glazed over and rolled my eyes when you said it. Because it's something that I struggle with all the time. I always have struggled with it. And when I talk to other creatives, same shit. Like, sometimes we just on the phone creating our own little therapy session and reminding each other who we actually are. Because it's the society we live in. If you didn't get a fancy piece of paper for it, then you can't be it. If you didn't go to design school, you can't be a designer. These are things that are ingrained in us that we've just accepted. And it's the same thing as the crazy fashion rules that I think don't exist. So it's really just challenging that system and saying, wait a minute, I'm actually just smart. I didn't spend $50,000 to get the degree to do what I'm doing. And that people are paying you to do it. So how are you not that? Yeah. So it's more so of some, you're just reminding yourself and having those people around you who will also remind you when you go there in your mind. And then it's partially because life is just humbling, because you can be walking down a red carpet one minute and like don't know how you finna pay your light bill the next minute. So you're like, how can I be all these things and broke? You know?
Yeah. That is so
That is deeply
so
relatable.
Goddamn relatable. Yeah.
So I just think it's really a mindset, and you just always gonna have to check yourself and check in and have people who can hold you accountable. And we gotta let go of our capitalist ways. Like, everything ain't about money. You know, you're not gonna, contrary to reality TV and everything that shows us, you're not gonna be a millionaire just because you had a good idea.
I think that that's a really common you know, one of the, we've been asked to speak on several panels, and we've been interviewed a couple times just talking about, you know, the fact that we've built this entity. And one of the main questions we always get asked is, how do you make money from this? And like, the short answer is we don't, you know? and I think that it always surprises people that like, yeah, we do this all day, every day, but like, it's not for the money. It does.
My closest friends are still shocked. They'll be like, okay, great, I saw you here and there and you were everywhere. So when are you going to quit your day job? And I'm like, I have no plans of ever quitting my day job. I'm like, it doesn't matter to me how much money this makes or doesn't make, because I have a day job, which means I can be completely real with you because I don't have to sell out. Yeah. I'm not trying to pay my bills through it. I'm not knocking anybody who does, but it's just not for me.
Yeah.
I want to always be able to give you the content that I wanted to give you, that you wanted to receive, and not bombard you with these brands. Like, you were surprised when I said I work with brands, because it's not evident. I'm not plastering it everywhere. I work it into life. So, hey, I'm taking a road trip. Toyota, give me a car. Okay. They'll come pick it up in a couple of weeks. Like, I work it into just everyday life like everything else.
That is the coolest fucking thing I've ever heard, though. I mean, like, yeah, you work it into your life, but like, hey, Toyota, I want to go on a... that is so cool.
My wife makes me feel weird by calling me a lesbian, and I'm doing air quotes because I don't accept the term. I probably should, but I don't. I feel like I'm not there. But ever since I sent her that picture of me and Lena Waithe, she's been calling me a lesbian.
Oh my god. So now you mentioned that I get what is the time frame of all of this been? Like, when did you start Windy City Wardrobe? When did you, like, how long has Feminist Speakeasy been around?
Windy City Wardrobe started in September of 2014.
Okay.
So I purposely did it then because I wanted, I'm sure you realize, you know, you're a plus size woman, you go out into the world and you go, what the hell? Where's my magazine?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so I was like, fuck the September issue. I'm coming out in September. So I'm like, there's never any plus size women in the September issues. So I was like, let's just do it.
I'll be my own September issue.
Exactly. So that's when that came out. Every year I have a blogversary party of some sort. Feminist Speakeasy came out March the 8th. Of this year, that's International Women's Day. So I always make sure it's poignant to the moment to help with the organic connections, because if everyone is celebrating this thing online right now and I come out right now, people are like, oh, what is that? I'm missing out on something. So it just makes it a natural connection.
That's so cool. Damn. I've seen these ads for, or not ads, obviously not ads. I've seen these posts for Feminist Speakeasy being like, wow, this is like so well developed and like it's probably been around forever and I've just been sleeping on it. No, you're just killing it.
Thank you.
Well, and I the thing that I think is really interesting is this idea that, you know, just for whatever reason, circling back to the imposter syndrome thing, like this idea that other people are like, oh, this must be now your career. And you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. People always assume that. And I'm just like, where did you get that from? You know, sometimes I'll just do those random posts where you just, you know, 10 random things about yourself or whatever. I'm like, so it's not like I'm hiding this back from you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's in my bio.
Mm-hmm. But well, and yeah. And I think that, like, we want to assume that other people that are doing well in our circles are, like, also getting rich off of it so that we can, like, be mad at them or something. I don't know. Like, is that weird?
I think it's just a self-loathing thing we all do, unfortunately, because we go, what am I doing wrong?
Right.
They're always on vacation and they're running their business. And it's like, yeah, but, like, do they ever not run their business? Mm-hmm. Like, no one has ever stopped to think about that. Like, the trade-off of working a 9-to-5 versus running your own business. Like, you're never off of work.
Mm-hmm.
You're either promoting the business, shipping the stuff, curating the stuff. You're photographing the stuff. So, you're just never, you're always on.
Yeah. And it neglects that work of it. It neglects the hard parts of it. It neglects the fact that, like, there are people doing amazing and like important work that are doing it in their spare time, because we don't live in a society that rewards that right now.
No. So it's like, I get up and I'm like, do I have any more orders I need to take out? I'm packing orders. I go to my job, mm-hmm. and on my lunch break, I'm walking to the post office with all these packages, and then I'm back at my desk at work, and then, you know, you're always working. But again, that's why you have to love it. Yeah. Like, because you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't love it. Because if you really charge people what it was worth, nobody could really afford it. Because if you think about all the time you put into it,
yeah,
you know, people will ask, well, when are you going to be full-time? I'm like, bitch, it is my full-time job. Just because I'm not getting full-time pay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, like, completely relatable. Like, I realized, I've been telling everybody this, I realized yesterday, I was looking at my calendar for the next couple weeks, and my, quote, office hours are 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And, like, in there is also my day job, but it's, like, you know, I wake up, I go to work, I come home, and then it's, like, meetings and interviews and, like, always checking my email and always being available to answer questions and checking the bank account and, you know, updating. It's, like, you know, it's, but you do it because it's great.
Right. It matters. Yeah. You're not just shuffling papers on a desk. It actually matters. It mattered to somebody to do the interview. It mattered to somebody to hear the interview. And it just keeps you going.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've had people ask me on Facebook, whether I knew them or not, like, what am I doing wrong? You're always on vacation. I'm like, that's factually not true. I'm literally not always on vacation. But if you styled your life the way I have mine, it might look like you're on vacation. So people will just assume based on the pictures, they will fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
You know, people don't like to read. So even if you have a caption, they will assume you're on vacation and then be like, well, didn't you just come on vacation last week? And it's like, most of the time, as a blogger, as a business owner, vacations aren't real vacations anyway. Like, you're there for something, and then you squeeze in some downtime.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so people don't see that either, and they, like, glamorize it in their mind, and then it makes you feel like an imposter, because you're like, I'm making people think I don't do shit? Like, is that what I'm giving off? And it just feeds into that imposter syndrome, and you're just like, oh my God, like, I wasn't trying to say that I have this glamorous life. I'm literally just sharing with you, and like, you take from it where your headspace is.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we have a few minutes left. So the last thing we do with all of our guests is a 1-minute plug for anything they have upcoming. Sometimes it's very obvious, like letting people know where they can find out more of about your writing and your photography and your site and things like that. But otherwise,
and all your vacations.
Yeah. But we also love hearing about any other folks that are doing dope work. Shout outs to folks that are doing dope work. Or any media that you're consuming, self-care or otherwise, movies, TV shows, music, stuff like that.
So definitely hit me up on Instagram at Windy City Wardrobe, as well as Feminist Speakeasy. Also, we're going to be setting up a pop-up shop at Covet Market in September, and it's actually September 23rd at Fulton Market. I'm consuming a lot of Chicago Woman Magazine. I do a lot of writing for them as well. They throw events all over the city all year round. So they bring a lot of women together from the self-love and feminism community. So if you're looking for things to do, definitely check out their website as well. And that's ChicagoWomanMagazine.com.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Dayan Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
If you want to keep up with what we are up to, there are so many ways you can do that. The first is to head over to scopymag.com. That's our website. We post all of our articles and podcast episodes there. S-C-A-P-I-M-A-G.com. Otherwise, you can find us on social media. On Facebook, we have a Facebook page called Scopy Magazine. We also have a Facebook group that we love and adore called Sounding Board, where we talk about local arts, politics, whether or not Anthony from Queer Eye can cook, and astrology. Otherwise, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr under Scopy Mag. The podcast, the one that you're listening to right now, Scopy Radio, under most podcast places, including iTunes, Google Play, and Radio Public, under Scopy Radio.
And I'm here to talk about the importance of subscribing. If you head to our website, scopymag.com, and go to our subscribe page, there are a couple ways that you can do that. The first is to sign up for email blasts. This is huge because even though we post across social media platforms, Facebook eats our shit. So, if you want to see 100% of what we're doing and not just 30% of it, you should sign up for those email blasts. The second thing you can do is become a member. For as little as $5 a month, you can help us keep our lights on and pay our fucking artists. So, if you're interested in doing that, please consider it. It means literally everything. Also, if you're interested in advertising opportunities, please feel free to reach out to us at scuppymag@gmail.com. So, give a little, give a lot, and if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Cool. Thanks again so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.